happy we're on. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Monday to you, everybody. Happy Monday, John. How you living, brother?
I am fantastic. Great weekend, great fun, and a little more hop in the step today. We'll get to that, I'm sure, just because of it's football season.
See,
Aesop type of hop.
Don't do that.
Oh God, not the wobble hop like Aesop. But that was
a hell of a hop, man.
Dude, he couldn't even touch that leg on the ground. He could not touch that leg.
It looked like he had a broomstick in the in the pants leg.
Figgy's here. Figgy's here
with an unusual negativity to start the show as well. You didn't have to do. You could have let us. You could have let us have our pleasantries to begin the show first. Like talk about the weekend. How you living? Are you still
right now? Figgy had a good weekend.
You know, like, good or bad, I don't know. One of those
came in guns blazing.
Was extreme.
Yeah.
On either end of this situation. How was your weekend? 713-572-4610 is the number to text into. I always appreciate you getting involved with the program. Also appreciate the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers for the live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch chat, 610 Houston. Those are ways to get involved with the program, and we very much appreciate you doing that. How are you feeling about the Astros right now? Because, again, another one hits, as you mentioned, Fig. Isak Paredes. Comes up limp, and he's trying to make his way to first base. Through an interpreter, he let it be known that not only, like, you know, obviously we saw that it was the hamstring that he was clutching at. Very quick conversation at first base before he is pulled from the game. And it's always very instructive the way that the Astros talk about an injury, whether or not you actually believe that they are spot on what the injury is. I think that, you know, maybe there's a force multiplier that you have. And it's like, if at least they come out here and they say, nah, we're going to keep him with the team and then we'll see what it looks like over the next couple of days. You're like, it might be something, but at least it's not, you know, it's not fall off the bone. Yeah. This is one of those where it was immediately, oh, no, this is an issue. He's going on the IL. He's on the 10-day IL as of right now. And Isak, through an interpreter after the game, was making it clear that this one was a little bit more serious than the last time he had a hamstring on the other side. Now, interpreters make this a little difficult. Mm-hmm. At one point, it was making it seem like, hey, you know, he was kind of overcompensating for the last hamstring on one side, which then maybe made him injure the other one. I don't know if that's fully what actually happened, but we end up with, I would say, the biggest bat in your lineup at this moment, now going to the IL. And I think this is the way that you put it that I find it interesting. Are the Astros scooping water out of a boat with a thimble?
Yeah, that's how I felt about it. Are they scooping water out of a boat with a thimble? You know, you're taking on water.
Not even a cup?
No, just a thimble. A little bit of thimble. Let's see if we can get this and catch up. You're never going to catch up. And I kind of giggled there for a second because Isak didn't even allow the Astros to say, hamstring tightness. No, he said, this is bad, man.
I need y'all to understand.
He goes, I want
don't get out here speculating on me.
This is bad.
No, you will not see me in a little bit.
It was so funny. He didn't even let the Astros, and they're probably like mad because they were going to say something like, you know, hamstring tightness or something. He's like,
That brother said, I'm going to November.
He goes, this thing is ripped.
We laughed to keep from crying, man.
That's why I was giggling. I was like, yeah, he didn't even let him have that. But you mentioned the word that came to mind to me as well. Not just are they scooping water out of a boat with a thimble, but overcompensating. That's a real thing. We all know it. We've heard doctors, orthopedic surgeons, athletic trainers talk about how that is a common thing. When one thing, whether it's your right or left, goes, then you compensate with the other side. All of a sudden, boom, something happens there. I just feel like that has to be something. And, oh, guess what? Speaks to just, once again, it speaks to, what do they call it? Return to play. You know,
dude.
It was a month ago.
So you're inclined,
about 3 days.
You're inclined to tie this back to the return to play. Because I know, look, just generally, the vibes when it comes to Astros injury apparatus, like health care for their players apparatus, not great, Bob, right? Like we do not have a lot of faith in I don't know if it's the medical staff or the handling of the front office. I can't pinpoint that, and so I don't want to be build up a boogeyman at this moment. But you're willing to tie this one back, or are you just like, hey, this is the luck that this team has had?
I'm not gonna tie it back. I can't form that opinion because this happens to a lot of people. I just mentioned it all the time. What I am saying is, it's just another bad look. It looks bad. It may be pure coincidence, And 9 times out of 10, it probably is because of the overcompensation, like we talked about, et cetera. It just looks bad. And the weekend that was, I think I also called it a bad news, good news kind of weekend. It was bad news by this. It was bad news, Brendan Rodgers, nasal fracture.
Dog.
I mean, that's a second baseman that they were counting on at the beginning of the year and they're probably going to count on at some level again.
I don't know how much I wanted to count on him again. I get it. But because, I mean, the bat just did not come along for him.
Right, right. Bad news, and then the bad news is you go into Seattle and you get and you lose some game, you lose two, you lose the series.
Yes.
The good news, you did manage to pull one out here yesterday.
Did you pull one out, 11 unanswered runs.
Yeah,
like
that was great.
That was the kind of good news that I specifically needed. Mm-hmm. I mean, you couldn't stand a sweep. To the Seattle Mariners,
2-game lead, man.
Yeah, a 2-game lead, especially when you add another injury, one to a major player. And then also just another instance of, like, I think you've called it grit, mm-hmm. culture, the whatever you want to talk that about the Astros, you know, the way that they have found a resilience in the face of adversity.
Yeah.
That little stance against the adversity was necessary for my mental health. I don't know how much that means in that clubhouse. I can't speak to that, but I imagine that's something like, hey, this is not going to be the one that sinks us, even though I'm not certain that that's the case. Like, at least the idea that this team continues to fight, that you're finding offense from every which, you know, way that you need in order to get a win against the, I mean, Wu is not a bad pitcher. It was just an all-star, right? Like, that might be their best pitcher that they were able to, you know, even go down 3-0 to, and then ultimately find 11 runs. So it was a moral victory, even though, you know, moral victories don't really count in a lot of people's imagination. I did like that, but no, you're not wrong. There was a lot of bad on the weekend before that win.
Yeah, for the record, I was right there with Sean Pendergast's tweet that got some run yesterday. I thought it was a wrap. I thought it was a wrap when they were down 3-0 and Wu was on the mound because he is that good and he looked that good. Obviously, Hunter Brown looked good for a couple of innings, maybe three. And then all of a sudden that started to go, but Wu is the real deal. I thought it was a wrap. The Astros came back. Shout out to Christian Walker, really got it going with a no doubt home run. And then they just kind of piled on from there. But as much as that's a good thing, and we just mentioned it, that was the good part of the bad weekend. It did lead, you know, you had three bad things happen before that. You have an IL list that looks like the second or third best team in the division.
16 on the IL, 5 of them were your starters at the beginning of the year.
So
thank you, Chandler.
Back to the first question. As much as, okay, you salvaged something, you didn't go down, your lead didn't go down to 2 games, it's still at 4. Is that masking things? Is it water with a thimble out of the boat? You know, I mean,
what do you mean? Is that just off of the 10 days of the IL, right? Yeah. That I imagine is retrospective to the 19th when the injury happened. Mm-hmm. When the injury happens, that takes you till when? You add 10 days to the 19th.
Yeah, 29th.
We are at the trade deadline, baby. Like, is this now another thing that you maybe need to try and address at the trade deadline? Mm-hmm. That is gargantuan when you talk about the fact that I think it was, oh my goodness, who was it from The Athletic? Was it Jim Bowden of The Athletic talking about what all the 30 teams, you know, what their perspectives are heading into the trade deadline? And for the Astros, he has. They have made it very apparent that they want to get a move done, but it'll be for one of a left-handed bat or a starting pitcher and not both.
Yeah.
What happens now if you're looking at, actually, we might need another infielder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, you absolutely do. I mean, he's going to be out at month at minimum, right? Minimum.
I don't know how to set minimums on injury return from this team.
I don't even know if I buy that, man. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to.
6 weeks, 8 weeks.
Don't be surprised if Dana Brown come out here talking about, be about maybe a week or two.
Yeah, but
let's put him on the 10-day IL list.
Dana Brown can say whatever he wants. I think the reality is we cannot expect to see Isak Paredes until at least a month. Would you disagree with that?
Probably not, because we're also talking soft tissue, like hamstring. For some reason, when I see hamstring form, when I saw that play, the one that came to mind cross sport is Nico Collins, you know, on the, what was that, 60, 70 some yard touchdown pass that he caught, where you see him pull up and you see him grab at that hamstring, and I immediately think, oh, he was gone for 5 weeks after that.
Yeah.
What is that, 4 or 5 weeks? You know, that ends up in about a month. And yes, those sports are not exactly the same, but man, it immediately made me think of that. And I don't know. One of the things that made me think of was I was very happy that Christian Walker was the one who went yard, in addition to the fact that they are on the road in Arizona or the greater Arizona or greater Phoenix area today through Wednesday. Because if there was ever a time to try and jumpstart Christian Walker, this is it. Hey, dog, all the other dudes who can like be the leader of leader of this conga line, the tip of this spear, all them dudes are sitting down right now. And so this is nut up. This is nut up time, dog. Like this is the time for you to find yourself, because that, I mean, you mentioned it. When will we finally come down on Christian Walker for having a substandard, subpar numbers and offense? It feels like this is it.
Yeah,
if you can't, you know, with the leadership that you came in with all the time that we've had, I understand it is tough. There's, you know, it is tough to find yourself in a new place. It's tough to break out of a funk, so to say. Just a sporadic home run here, there's not going to do it.
No.
You need to lead the line, dog.
You do, and, you know, what does it do now in terms of priorities on the trade deadline? Because I feel like all of a sudden that left-handed bat and an infielder it trumps everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, heaven forbid, I jinx him here. But right now, Mauricio Dubon is probably the most important player on the team because he can do so many different things. And it gives
we got some wood to knock on.
I know, and it gives you flexibility. It gives you flexibility at third base, but you can't make a living, you know, with just mixing and matching at third base with, you know, 4A players, guys just called up,
etc. Shane Whitcomb,
all that. You can't make a living doing that.
Are you at a place where you start thinking about doing the musical chairs that we had once talked about relatively unseriously? Cam Smith, who, I mean, it did warm my heart to see him leading off last couple of days. Like, that did make me kind of smile because I heard the guys on Pain and Pendergrass this morning with B. Scott, obviously, in for Seth, kind of waxing poetic about the how correct that decision was to start him at the major league level breaking camp. And now you have this robust dude who is capable of doing this and leading off your team and having that level of magnitude.
Yeah.
Is there anything within you that goes, he played third base, maybe move him back just because of the necessity, or especially with the return of Chaz McCormick?
Yeah. Last time you brought this up, I said no. You know, I'm starting to waffle on that.
Oh,
a little
goodness.
Bit. Are you?
I don't know. No.
But look at the especially with Christian Walker, somewhat unpredictable.
I mean, as evidence, like they might be forcing themselves into the space, just speaking to the idea of, like, you know, scooping with a thimble, trying to, you know, empty water out of a boat. They brought in Zach Short mere hours after, you know, ruling him out due to, you know, the taking, what was it, 97 off the ribs? Like, they've already had to do some pretty drastic things. Like, at what point do you get to drastic measures like that? I don't know. From the 281, Bryce Matthews and Uyola need to be on the trade block if we're going to be serious contenders in these playoffs. That's from Mikey and Humble. I'm starting to get to that place where I was very much somebody who, as much as you can, I understand, look, prospects are not as valuable as sometimes we seem to make them.
Yeah.
But you still need to have someone on the farm. At this point, you are the walking dead, man. And we were already wondering how long you can carry this. I do wonder how much this Mariners thing is about the Mariners being good, or how much of this is just, you know, you're going to have the bounce back from not losing any of these series for like a month and a half to ultimately maybe you're going to lose a couple series. But how much of this is also just finally you're not going to be able to just carry this thing out by duct tape and all this thing together?
Yeah, we have reached that point where you're going to have to start doing some things that are maybe a little bit unorthodox.
Well, the Astros on the road in Arizona to take on the Diamondbacks again. Hopefully the familiar confines of Chase Stadium get our guy Christian Walker going, because that'd be very much needed after Isak Paredes goes to the 10-day IL. You got Colton Gordon on the mound for your Astros today. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, just getting going on a Monday. Coming up next, obviously, I think we have a good grasp on what the major kind of storylines, talking points, questions need to be answered are for the Texans during training camp, which starts on Wednesday. But I kind of have some less prominent questions that I want to run by you for training camp. Tell me if you agree with these. 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next. Yeah, happy Monday to you. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atula Figgy Fig, hanging out with you on a Monday here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. As we are 2 days away from hitting the field, a day away from the guys reporting, hey man, football, you can smell it.
Mm-hmm.
And you could smell the cut grass, the leather of a football. We're getting there, baby.
Could damn near hear those mowers.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that we got to work on.
I was like,
on.
Is that a good sound or?
Not on the radio.
Yeah, after we get done and we're there wrapping up stuff at the NRG Park at the training facility. Man, they crank up those mowers right in front of us.
That's right. That's right. You got to mow when you got to mow here in Houston, Texas. All right. Excited for football and practice and getting some real tangible ideas of what this team is going to be for the 2025 season to ramp up. And I think we've maybe even over-talked at some points about some of the big ticket questions and, you know, the things that we want to see from this team in training camp, right? I think that we have some idea what those are, but I think that I don't want to say we've neglected, but I think there are some maybe less prominent questions that I have for camp that I kind of wanted to get off here and see if you agree with how you feel about them, because obviously we're headed in and there's a lot of things over the next month or so to take in, and it's not all just going to be the big questions. So let me know how you feel about these and maybe what some of your other questions are for this team. One of them, the first one that came to mind for me, especially I was looking at the depth chart, and remember when we headed into, or when we were heading rather into draft season and then and eventually into free agency, but more in the draft, one of the most discussed potential needs for the Texans in the draft was interior defensive line.
Yes, it was.
Possibly finding a way to shore that up, have something that is more a better run stopping option in the middle, some more physicality in the middle. Now, you did bring back Foley Fatukasi after that point, but the only real change from year to year on the interior there was bringing back Shelton Rankins from the Cincinnati Bengals. He played for the Cincinnati Bengals last year and, of course, the Texans the year prior. What can Shelton Rankins add to the interior of this defensive line is one of those questions for me.
I think that is a very important question, and I like this topic in terms of some of the things that we feel so good about the prominent names. Some of the less prominent names are definitely going to be important. Interior defensive line, absolutely positively. I mean, this is what a lot of teams are going to try to exploit, especially with the edge rushers that the Texans have. Maybe some questions, smaller questions at linebacker. And hit the middle of the Texans defense. I think that's a very good one.
Yeah, this Texans team was like a middle of the road in run stuffing type team. And then, I mean, there was opportunities for big plays against this Texas team at times running the football. I think actually they were, bottom 10 when it came to 10 plus yard rushes against them. So that was one of the things that we were hoping to see. Obviously, the linebackers play in there and you have a level of depth that you've added there, but the interior of the defensive line matters, and the one guy that you've added is Shelton Rankins, who, with all due respect to the man, and obviously circumstances matter, but at Cincinnati, being out there in Cincinnati, did not look great for him, to be completely honest, last year. Like, I think in run opportunities, he had more than half of the same amount of opportunities as he did the year prior with Houston, and he did not have nearly the same amount of tackles. Now, of course, again, there's all sorts of different circumstances that play in there, but I do wonder, is he still the player that you saw prior?
Yeah.
Because he's not a spring chicken, and is he factoring in to a point where it's enough of a raised floor of what you do in the run and maybe even in the pass from him in the interior?
No, look, and we're in a place where we're picking nits, we're being nitpicky here with what's going to be a very good defense. But if you look at the upper echelon teams, the absolute best of the best, the Eagles types, the Chiefs types, those are the Super Bowl teams right there. What did they have? They had the interior defensive line that was next level. So no matter how good your edge rushers are, if you have those guys in the middle that can perform, and I'm not saying they have to play at that level, but perform at a high level, then your whole defense gets that much better.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why that defense was really good was you had guys like Tim Settle, who will still be on the team, that did a great job of knifing, getting upfield, Mario Edwards in the early portions of the season from the interior. And I know that this isn't necessarily the job that that Sheldon Rankins has, but from six sacks in 2023 with the Texans, one sack last year, and that quarterback pressure percentage, because sacks are obviously they're the most optimal of what you want as an outcome. But also, they're not the end-all, be-all. The pressure is
especially for tackle. You want pressure.
Yes.
Yeah.
The pressure percentage that he had in 2023 was 8.6%. Mm-hmm. The pressure percentage that he had last year with the Bengals was 2%.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's 8-3-2, you are right. The Bengals defense was horrible as a whole last year. But he was a part of that. And I don't as much as I can isolate his impact, I'm trying to. And this is not me forecasting that he won't be good. It's just a question of, okay, now that we've seen what that was on an admittedly bad defense, what then does he add to what this defense looks like on the interior of the defensive line? You rightfully admitted or made mention of, this is a good defense, regardless of what it looks like. If you just get what you got last year from the interior defensive line, I'm happy. But clearly that was something that was an opportunity for growth that the Texans kind of talked about.
Yeah.
So, do you find a level of growth with him jumping in? That was one of the questions. Another one that I think is going to be a big one, and it's one of the things that's obvious when you have rookies, but obviously the rookies that we talk about at the high level are the ones that you draft higher, right? What is Jalen Noel? What is Jaden Hickens? What is Ariante Ursary, who now is signed on his four-year contract? Hallelujah. But also the question that I have here is, are Jalen Reed and Jalen Smith contributors or projects in year one?
Yeah, I like this one because I think it's one of those things that can take you to an altogether higher level. And that's what we're looking at with this defense. We've mentioned top five. That would be ideal. If you get production from those two guys later and not just plugging and playing guys that you've added, then you're that much better.
And for me, I don't even know how much better you are as a general situation, like as a general team, because again, when it comes to those guys, Reed as a safety is going to be a depth guy. Smith as a cornerback is going to be a depth guy. The guys that you're looking at in that secondary, I feel great if they never have to come off the field. Mm-hmm. The problem is, it's football.
They're
it's the car crash sport.
The field,
they're going to come off the field. I'm doing my rewatch. I'm watching D'Angelo Ross. I'm watching Jeff Okuda. I'm watching Kadar Holman have to play plays last year.
We experienced it.
Right?
We lived it last year.
And one of the things we talked about was depth. We were hoping to see with this team. Mm-hmm. You lost a guy to retirement in the offseason that you were hoping to maybe be depth. Can these guys be contributors and be that depth, young, talented depth, as you already figure out what they have? And can they help you kind of cover those, I guess, gaps, for lack of a better term, of depth in when you need them? Or are they more projects as later round picks that you're going, all right, they're cool, but we're not expecting them to be the guys that we turn to in moments of depth need?
But you might have to, and that's the point. I really like this this topic simply because, you know, those are two areas right there where, you know, you don't have a lot of depth, and if you have to rely on people, then all of a sudden you can have a drop-off if they're not producing.
Right, and again, we saw that last year. The defense was still very good, even with, you know, teams maybe targeting D'Angelo Ross or, you know, Kadar Holman having a ill-timed kind of handsy moment that keeps a play going. I understand that those things happen and they're not the end-all, be-all, but these are the things that we're looking to answer in training camp, and I think these are some of the less prominent ones. And then one that I was like, am I right to get to this place, but also, or are we just kind of been quiet because he is a fan favorite, he's got a real fun name, and he has been
is
here
he a fan favorite?
For 8 years. Is he? I think he is.
I don't know. I think it depends.
People like saying his name. That don't make him a fan favorite?
It depends on which way the wind's blowing, I think. Figgy, do you know who we're talking about?
No.
Can Kaimi Fairbairn refine his dominance? First and foremost, Kaimi Fairbairn.
Yeah.
Fan favorite or not?
I would say yes.
Hold that, Lopez!
I would say sometimes. I would say sometimes.
No.
713-572-4610, unscientific survey. Is Kaimi Fairbairn a fan favorite?
I think right now, if let's say he got released or traded or something right at this moment, I think people would be sad about that.
Yeah. People love
him
to Kaimi. Yeah.
I don't think people will be like, about damn time.
People love them some Kaimi.
Yeah, I think people will get a little emotional about this
one. Emotional?
I think so. Okay. He's been with the team the longest now.
No, I'm not anti-Kaimi.
Been around for a minute.
I don't know. You sound kind of anti.
I'm
not anti-Kaimi. I'm anti just, declaring that he's a fan favorite. I think people have gone, hot and cold on him, as they're wont to do with kickers anyway.
But that's, that kind of comes to what I'm asking is, like, can he refine his dominance? Because in, what was it, 2022, he knocked down 93.5% of his field goals. In 2023, 96.4% of his field goals. Last year, 85.7% of his
field
goals.
Dude, he missed 15%. And 15% of his kicks.
Look, I'm not here to tell you that that was atrocious by any means. Right. But, and also, you might be, like I was thinking, well, a lot of that had to be 50-plus yarders because they kept running him out there trying to kick all the crazy 50-yard field goals. He missed three of them from that depth. But he also missed more 20 to 29 yarders than he had. Like, he hadn't missed a 20 to 29 yarder since his rookie year up until last year, where he missed two.
Yeah.
In that, you know, in that very relatively close range, chip shot range, I think is what we would really view that as for Kaimi. So, like, is he going to find that dominance that he once had, that he's had relatively recently again? Or are we seeing what happens at from time to time where a dominant kicker eventually finds that it is no longer dominant anymore? Mm-hmm. And then does that become a issue, for lack of a better term, for the team, who at times, hopefully they will not have to lean on, hey, we need this three at this point. But at times that 3-point, that field goal is going to be really necessary, and knowing that you can turn to him and feel like this is a guaranteed three as opposed to, you know, maybe is going to be a difference, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We'll 832, fan favorite when he's one of the better kickers in the league.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
713, hell yeah, he's a fan favorite, especially after his injury in 2023. We missed him.
Okay.
And then Kicks Rocks, every kicker goes through that. Yeah, with missing some, sure. But not every kicker comes out on the back end of it. Right. Still the same.
Yeah, we wondering if he can bounce back from this, or this is what he is now.
Right.
How many extra points did he miss last year? He missed two. He missed one the year prior and none the year before that. And again, that's relatively small sample, but I mean, again, I think when you put that with all of the field goals that he missed, and I say all of them as if he missed a ton of them, but the difference, I mean, at the highest level of sports, the difference is relatively minimal. Again, I'm not saying he can't, but just, it'd be something for me to watch. Yeah. Is he knocking him down with the level of aplomb that he typically, as we have gotten used to him doing? That's one of the kind of less prominent questions that I also have coming into camp. Excited for the next couple of days as we really ramp up into seeing these fellas on the field live and in color. And you'll hear all of that coverage right here on your Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610 from the 832. Is the line an issue for him as well as Stroud? That's a good question. You know, that's going to, you know what you're about to make me do, 832? You're about to make me go home and watch a whole bunch of field goal film. See what you're doing to me? See what you're doing to me? All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports.
No John Weeks either, man.
Oh, that's true. No John Weeks. Yeah. Does that change anything? I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that right now. All right, coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. With football right on the horizon, we all do the thing that kids do, where we put away the toy when we get the one that we really want, which is football. So 713-572-4610. What are you done with until next offseason? Let us know the thing that goes back in the closet until February. We'll talk about it next. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Time for the question of the day. Can you smell the football?
You can smell it, man.
Can you feel it?
I'm not kidding. I woke up today thinking, we made it. We did it. Football season is here, baby.
We got a couple days. Tomorrow they report, and then Wednesday we are out bright and early on the practice field broadcasting.
See, that's what I was thinking. I'm happy it's Monday and it's the week of football. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dang, we got to Wednesday.
Don't worry about it. No, we're good. We're good.
That ain't no problem.
Yeah. All right, Shannon Sharp.
We'll get there, man. But with that being the case, we have reached the week. Sometimes you just need to be in the vicinity, and we do have a level of proximity to football that I think shakes off some of the blues.
We have the media party tonight.
We do. I don't know. Did you want to say that to everybody? Is that for everybody's information?
Well, they don't know where we're going to be.
Give them the address.
Let people know where we're at.
But the question of the day, what
8507
all right.
Queens Boulevard.
Okay. what are you done with until next offseason? What are the things that you shake off once football comes around and consumes your existence as a sports fan? Again, 713-572-4610.
All right, so Saturdays and Sundays for the last few months, if she says, hey, let's go to brunch. All right, let's go. I'm done with that. I'm done with that. Brunch.
Like anytime. Brunch anytime.
Brunch on weekends, well, on weekends, I guess. Yeah, mostly on weekends. But, hey, let's go to brunch. Sure, man, let's go. Hey, let's go to brunch. Next one in the next couple of weeks. Nah, man, I can't.
Does that go to any? Does that go to any
Saturday
like previous,
too?
Oh yeah, Saturdays especially.
Does that go to any previously unplanned? Like, just there's no more. There's no more just general.
Yeah.
Spur of the moment. Let's go do a thing. You're like, no. You need to put this on the calendar, baby girl.
Here's the good thing. She knows. She knows that's the best part. If you've been in it for a while, you've been in the game for a while. They all know
you've conditioned her.
You all know what each other. What are the non-starters? You know.
Yeah. So yeah. That's one of the big ones for you. Mm-hmm. Some of the ones that are coming in from the 409. They said, I'm done with all the crap my friends need help with on Sundays. Everyone knows I'll be posted up in my recliner on Sundays.
That's a good one.
Yeah, just, no. Y'all, why are you moving in the fall anyways? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you're not getting no assistance from over here. I think this is interesting for me as a rather young, unencumbered man. One of the things I realized is this is actually going to more affect my weekdays than it is my week. Well, I mean, it's going to affect my weekends, but... Like there's no more just like downtime in the middle of the day. Yeah, there's no more downtime in the middle of the day, especially like for our purposes after the show. I know some people's, you know, work day, well, a lot of people's work days go longer than ours technically. Mm-hmm. But usually like, you know, during the summer, 2 o'clock to maybe like 4 or 5, I might be able to catch a breather, maybe catch a nap if I need to.
Yeah.
You know, just chill a little bit. Hey, that is now taking time. You might need to go and rewatch a game.
Mm-hmm.
You might need to also. I might need to do groceries because now Saturday and Sunday are entirely off the limits.
Yeah, in terms of going
for like
out.
Doing groceries, doing any of that. All
so
that
you ain't doing none of that on the
not during the weekend. Like legit, I'm not a wake up and go to the store guy. Yeah. I'd have to be like a wake up and go to the store guy because once 11 a.m. hit on a Saturday, we in.
Yeah,
I'm watching football all the way through. Once noon hit on a Sunday. We in. Mm-hmm. I'm watching football until like midnight. Like it just weekends are non-starters. So everything I gotta get done during the week gotta happen during the week.
Yeah, I try to go if it's not crowded, man. So if that means in early in the morning or late at night, I will go during those times. But a couple things I got that's on my brain that is over once football season start, and I hate this one so much because you know I'm in graces with the good Lord, but. No more church.
Oh yeah,
no church, man. Yeah,
any replacement? Do we do video church?
I could watch a video. I could go back to the stream on YouTube and all that stuff. But I gotta work, baby.
Figgy said he know my heart. You know,
I gotta work.
Yeah,
that's a good point because I'm talking about noon on a Sunday. Half the time, especially if we have a noon kick, we out there at 9 a.m.
Yeah,
like at an NRG enjoying the tailgating and stuff. Yeah.
And I try to go, you know, to the early service. But they don't get out to about 10:30, you know, maybe close to 10:45. I'm like, man, I got to be at work.
Let me ask you guys both this, especially you, Reggie, I would think, just because, you know, you're of the age, a lot of friends are doing this. What about weddings?
So I actually have the unpopular sports opinion that the wedding is the more important thing. And I'm not the person who goes, damn you, why are you scheduling your wedding in the fall, right? I understand the people that are like that. They're like, oh, no, I got my football on. I try to be sentimental enough to realize, hey, man, at football, I really, really enjoy it. It matters a lot to me. However, what matters more is these people in this moment in their lifetime, and I can't get this back. So, I'm cool with that. Like, I vividly remember.
But you got
remember
your phone open.
2 years ago. Well, I mean, come on.
You got your phone open all the time. Yeah,
that's right. I think 2 years ago, it was Washington, Oregon. Mm-hmm. Was that the game?
Mm-hmm.
That was really big. That happened twice that year. I think it was the first.
Oh, yeah.
It was the first or second iteration of it. Where my homeboy was having his wedding, so I was on the way to Waco, and please don't stop me. I think the statute of limitations are fast. Had the game on my phone as I was driving down.
I'm telling you,
there was a number of people at the wedding that were like passing around what the score was on that game and an A&M game as well, because we all knew what time it was. So like I will do that, but I'm also not going as far as I'm not going to your wedding because of this. No, I'll be there.
Yeah, how about this one that came in on the text line? Just stress. Stress in general, like stress-free days.
Stress-free days are gone.
Yeah. They're gone. They're done. Your entire mood hinges on whether your college team, hell, maybe your high school team, but your college team or your pro team, how they do that day.
That's 100 stress-free. Yeah. Oh, just good habits in general, because eating good is gonna slack. It's going to slack. I'm going to eat more wings.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat more pizza.
That was my next one, man. Just healthy diet. That's out the window, man. Because this, if you ever tailgate outside, outside the NRG, it's impossible to be like, nah, I'm good. I'm trying to eat. No, man, that's probably the most peer pressure you'll ever get in life.
And drinking, too.
And drinking, yeah. Yeah. It was like, one time I got my tooth pulled. I got my wisdom teeth pulled.
Yeah.
And then a couple days later, I went to the tailgate, and I couldn't drink because I had, you know, I was on some medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, come on, man, I'm going to make it back. They were trying to force me to drink. I'm like, man, this was a bad idea to come out here and not drink. I should have walked around with a Bible or something. That probably wouldn't have even worked.
It probably wouldn't have. No, that's true because... And even just like when we're working, a lot of times I'll have a couple, you know this, Reggie, because we go do the tailgates and judge them. You know, I'll have a couple, but every once in a while.
I'll have more than a couple.
Yeah, every once in a while, it's impossible. You're drinking 5-6 drinks.
And this is at the first stop.
Yeah.
Shout out to HEB. They go to 3 different tailgates. Man. The first stop, they like, oh, yeah, here you go. Let's do some shots. Here, take a drink. Check out this punch I made.
Yeah.
You go to the second one. All right, tequila shots, everybody.
It's because we all in the football spirit. Like, it's such man. The tailgate scene here is incredible. And so everybody's coming with the level of energy where how you going to say no to the Mexican candy shop when they put in your
case?
See, the thing is, by the time you get to the third one, you'd have had like 5 different liquors.
That's right.
Then you got to go up to the press box.
Yep.
And you're like breathing on everybody.
You've seen me a couple of those times.
Yeah.
Where I come over and I'm like, I am holding on to the desk up there.
Yeah. You might as well get that out the way. Yeah. You might as well just forget all that. That's mm-hmm. something. Just wait till next year.
Yeah.
Try to eat right and drink right.
From the 504, stop going to lunch with my friends after church. I can hardly keep my phone in my pocket when the game starts and I'm sitting in church anxiously waiting to get out. Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Like, shout out to you still going to church and making sure that you're doing it. God bless you. But that is one of the cool things about, like, if you are a churchgoer, is like going and getting the lunch special afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just, yeah, man. Nope. We are going to watch football, friends. Yep. We are going to post church. From the 832, imagine if Lent was during football season. I can't imagine.
I remember when my kids were smaller, one of the toughest things, and you always prioritize your kids, but like they have Saturday afternoon baseball.
Oh, that's true.
You know,
oh,
yeah. They've got basketball, you know, weekend tournaments that go all the way through Sunday. That was tough, man. Like when you have those age kids and you're like, you got to go.
Yeah.
You got to.
Somebody said it's easy to not drink. I mean, in some ways, yes, but also in some ways.
Go to a tailgate and tell me that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the thing. I think people respect if you're like, yo, I'm not drinking. Mm-hmm. But like if for someone like me who I am not opposed to drinking, I just don't do it often. Mm-hmm. In that setting, people want you to turn up.
Yeah
but not, see, the thing.
I don't have any really
objections. It's one thing if you
here.
Don't drink at all.
Right.
But if you choose like, nah, I ain't going to drink today. Oh, come on, man.
Yeah, they'll pressure
here,
you.
Come on, man. Just one drink with me, man. Just all you got to do is just one shot.
Right.
That's
if,
it.
If you abstain, that's one thing. If you're trying to do moderation,
yeah,
that's the issue.
No way.
Yeah. Moderation
no
is
way.
The problem here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody said, you gentlemen have stole my joy this morning. How? How? How so? We're football coming from the 409. We'll be done caring about my fantasy baseball team in a few weeks.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
You
part.
All in the playoffs and everything, and nobody's in the right spaces. You got dudes who are off.
Yeah.
He went full-blown Andy and just dropped, what's his name, Woody?
Yeah.
Just dropped his
just
toy.
Dropped him. He said it
he
served
picked up
its
that
purpose.
Fantasy football toy.
Yeah.
Shout out to Brenton the Heights. Let us know, what are the other things that are going by the wayside? That's coming. Somebody said, I don't drink often, says the guy that did 9 shots in 9 innings.
Yeah.
True. However, ask me how many shots I've had since those 9 shots in 9 innings a few weeks ago. And I can tell you definitively, zero. Zero alcohols. Not one alcohol. From the 832, wasn't a huge college football fan growing up because of sports. Interesting. And then from the 346, in nursing school, clinicals every Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be a rough football
season
for me.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Y'all mentioned this too, wedding season coming up, and I work with a photo booth company.
Oh.
So that be kind of hit me hard too, especially them Saturdays.
Yeah.
I'm just like, man, why y'all having
you got to put that in,
right
in the contract, photo booth contract. Sight of one television.
I'll be looking at the bride and the groom like, man, y'all don't watch sports. what are y'all
wrong
doing?
With you?
Like, nobody got a TV in here.
All right. We're getting going here on a Monday in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL. A lot of football stuff happening over the weekend, including a quarterback in the division who's already done for the season. We'll talk about it next.